Welcome to the Bitcoin Source Podcast, your ultimate destination for all things Bitcoin. Today, we have an engaging guest with us, James Mumo, a Kenyan YouTuber who creates content about finance, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. James's experience and insight into the Bitcoin landscape, particularly in perspective of the Kenyan market, promises to provide us with some insightful value today. Welcome, James.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. So, James, like I said off air, I want to let people know the background story of how I kind of found out about you. And shout out to my girl, Mary Amoswin, who works with Thunder Games under Desiree Dickerson. She does a lot of different things in the space based out of Nigeria. I saw a picture of you and her. I want to say it was like at the Africa Bitcoin Conference or somewhere. And I'm Ghanaian. My father's from Ghana. So, of course, that was buzzing around, you know, the ecosystem a lot. And I was like, who is this guy? Because she was so excited to meet you. And then I got your name and I Googled you and then I started to dig into your videos. And the first video I saw from you that really made an impact on me and made me want to speak to you was you giving a breakdown of Manchincora, Kotatsu's application. The way that you broke down that application for Africans that are using feature phones, even for me being an American living in America, I learned so much about Manchincora from just you explaining it in that YouTube video. So if anybody's out there, please go and like and subscribe that video. James did a great job breaking down that application. And that's kind of how I started to find out about you. First question for you, James. As a Kenyan YouTuber, you've been making content about finance and Bitcoin for years now. Could you share what initially sparked your interest in Bitcoin and what motivated you to share your knowledge across the internet?
Okay. Thank you for having me. 2018 is when I started on YouTube and I was talking about how people can be able to make money. And I've talked about businesses that people can start if you have $10, if you have $100, if you have $1,000. And this was the kind of video that I was making. Now, at the beginning of 2021, my youngest brother, his name is Mick, we call him Shezmick, he came to me and told me, you know, there's this thing that is called Bitcoin. Can you try and do a tutorial for people? And yes, I had heard about Bitcoin in 2018, but it was just from a Facebook post. Someone was trying to sell some Bitcoin on Facebook. And I was like, you know, I don't have that money. It's too rich for my blood. But in 2021, in January, when he told me about it, I started exploring. So the very first video I did about Bitcoin was me on a P2P marketplace, Paxful. And I was just showing people, this is me signing up and this is how I'm able to buy Bitcoin. And I had no idea what the asset is. And even still till today, I keep on learning new things because there's so much. The more you dig into Bitcoin, the more you realize you have no idea what it is. So you have to keep on learning every day. And that is what started me on that rabbit hole. So typically what people start with is you start with Bitcoin, you go to shitcoins, and then you end up in Bitcoin. And that's the same journey that I had. Because when I got started, it was just these Bitcoins, but Bitcoin looks like it is very expensive. I may not be able to afford it. Maybe there's something else I can afford. Only to go into those places and then you realize there's nothing better than Bitcoin, but the only way people can ever believe that is to go through the actual cycle. But as I was learning things, my philosophy was, if I learn one new thing, I'm teaching people that. And I never started as an expert. I still do not consider myself an expert. I know that I have become an influencer in the space, but it's all by, I am always sharing the knowledge that I have. And it's just as simple as, oh, I've learned this one new thing. That's the one new thing that I'm going to do a video about. And I feel that is probably what every Bitcoin is supposed to do. If you get information, you're supposed to share it out. If you learn one new thing, you're supposed to tell people about it so that we can actually increase in the knowledge. And the thing that I noticed as I started creating content is, oh my goodness, is a gap, because all the tutorials that I was seeing were all from the West. They're all from the US mostly. Those are the people who were talking about Bitcoin, and there was no one teaching other people how to be able to buy Bitcoin. And then I looked in my market, and most of the places where people could be able to buy Bitcoin that the West were saying, they're all using credit cards. And we don't have a culture of credit cards in Africa and in Kenya. Our culture is mobile money. So how can I be able to teach people how to be able to buy with mobile money, because it's possible to be able to do it? And that started that journey. I think one thing I've also noticed is the narrative around Bitcoin in Africa and across the globe seems to be different. Because for us, we are thinking we want to preserve our money. We want to be able to use it without having banks, you know, the true letter of what Satoshi wanted. And some people may be looking at it as store of value, but we are trying to even use it in our daily transactions. And so for me, that's what got me started. And it's even gotten to a point where, just to mention this, this year is when I actually decided, you know, I want to now sell my house and buy more Bitcoin. And that's a journey that I'm currently on. And also building a platform where I can be able to teach people about Bitcoin, which is recent. It's about 2 months old, called Satoshify Me. And that's what we are building now in Africa, in Kenya. That's what my contribution is. Apart from YouTube, I want to teach more and more as I continue learning.
You know, we're definitely going to talk about you selling your house. We're going to talk about your new venture that you're going in. But there was something you said where you talked about Africans actually using Bitcoin as a peer-to-peer day-to-day currency, because the M-Pesa or the Naira or some of these other different currencies that you see running around of lower status than it was before, especially in places like Nigeria. Kenya has this issue too. Kenya has been inundated with so many different cryptocurrencies, Cardano, this, that, the next, the third, because they know that that market is open for people to absorb the finances of some of these cryptocurrency companies. And Lamar Wilson, I just got out of a Clubhouse conversation with him talking about this exact thing. He's not a fan of using Bitcoin as a form of sovereign wealth yet. He's a big proponent of spending it. And if you have a product, I'll pay you in Bitcoin instead of paying you in your local currency, so that everybody can see the value in actually transacting it between one person and another party. And I think that you hit the nail on the head with that, James, when you said that Africans are actually looking to use this on a day-to-day basis instead of actually holding it as a store of wealth.
True. And I was actually having that same conversation on TikTok today, because I go live there almost daily. And I was talking about our Kenyan currency from the start of this year to now. It's lost close to 25% of the FX value with the dollar. And this is intentional by our Kenyan government. So once you start showing people what is actually happening, because you don't need to over-convince people about Bitcoin. You just show them, this is what is happening. This is where the problem is. So what do you do? Because that's a question. Anytime that I speak to people, I show them, this is what the issue is. Your government has stock of US dollars at the central bank, but they are not using it. They are intentionally devaluing the currency. And that devalues your money. So you work hard, but the money that you have gets shorter legs every single time. So the first solution I give people here in this market is, even before we start the dollar, the Bitcoin conversation, can you move your money from the local currency, get the dollar or get euro, so that we have that conversation? Once you've seen that at least the dollar has more value than the Kenya shilling, then now let's move you now to USD as a crypto, USDT or USDC, whatever is available. And then now after that, I'll now be able to show you even the USDT, even though it is a better option than your local currency, still there is a better option after that. So now we can now have those conversations of, this is fiat, it is not backed by anything. Because the struggle that I had at the very start is the fact that so many people who've experienced Bitcoin and cryptocurrency have experienced it through scams. So even having that conversation of getting to Bitcoin, everyone just puts a wall up. So I decided, let me take you slowly. So slowly by slowly. So leave your Kenya shilling, go to the dollar. So once you've gotten to the dollar, now we can have that conversation of even the dollar is not a perfect solution, but at least it's better than what you're using. And then now what is the perfect solution? And if I move someone slowly in that way, and finally they're on Bitcoin, then now we have that conversation of where do you buy Bitcoin? The easiest place for us to be able to buy Bitcoin is either on a P2P marketplace or on an exchange. Even though I know the full goal is to have someone store their Bitcoin, but I have to take them slowly. I have to take them through those steps of just trust me, let's move to the next step. Once you've bought your Bitcoin on a centralized exchange, now let's start talking about how can you move it to a wallet. Then move it to a custodial wallet, which is not the perfect solution, but I have to train you slowly by slowly until I finally tell you now you are supposed to be the bank. But if I come to you today and tell you, you know, the banking system is flawed, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, in a market where I have mobile money, which everyone uses mobile money here in Kenya. And secondly, our banking system is so entrenched in everything that we do that you'll be fighting an uphill battle by the time you orange peel people. So you have to take them step one step at a time, show them what's the better option. And it's a logical step that you're actually taking people to, that finally you tell them, okay, now being a bank requires you to have certain responsibilities. You have certain duties of being a bank. How can you be your own bank? And in doing this, we now can be able to start communities. Here in Kenya, we haven't yet come up with a circular Bitcoin economy, but of course, you're still working towards that. And it's a day-by-day process of us being able to orange peel the people that are here.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I mean, you, Nolene Samba, there's a lot of people in Kenya that are really building up this ecosystem of people that not only want to teach about Bitcoin, but want to show the practicality of Bitcoin, that you're using this day to day in Kenya. So you're not a foreigner that's trying to shill a digital asset on them. Like, you're living in the country, you're amongst the community. People know you and they know you for teaching this type of education. So it's always good to see someone with boots on the ground teaching these things to the cultures and the communities within Africa, because as we know, our culture is so entrenched in word of mouth, or, you know, this person had an opportunity, let me tell my uncle, let me tell my cousin. So I think that that's how the information gets passed very quickly in our culture. But I wanted to ask you, James, while I have you on, like, what inspired you to sell your house and buy Bitcoin? Because I know that's a hot topic right now in the space.
For me, it's logical. I think being getting into the space in 2021, just before the bull run actually came in, and I saw how much of a difference it makes. And then also realizing that even though our society has taught us that real estate is a go-to investment to get into, the reality is that if you have real estate, disposing of it, if you need to dispose of it, becomes much harder. And the freedom that comes with, I am renting a space and I can be able to move as I want and I have my money with me, not tied to any market, is something that I really have gravitated towards. But even as I started this, I think the very first tweet was not, honestly looking back, was not well thought out. But once it was out there, I told myself, you know what? Yes, I've committed to this. And now I even started thinking through exactly what I would do if that I am selling my house to buy Bitcoin. And I even recently just started thinking about what if a Bitcoiner, from someone who has enough Bitcoin, can be able to buy the house and we make it a Bitcoin house, like a Bitcoin villa, somewhere where people can be able to come and learn about Bitcoin. And we do all, like, if I wish I could show you, I probably should send you a few photos of how the house looks. It's a huge compound. If you wanted to host 100 or so people, you could be able to do it. And that way, now we can truly start giving back to the community and even start a circular economy around Nairobi, where now we tell people, if you want to learn about Bitcoin, because that's all I'm about, I want to teach people about Bitcoin, we can be able to come, bring 30, 40 people on a Saturday. Let's learn about Bitcoin. Let's exchange sats on Lightning so that you can be able to actually tangibly see exactly what is going on. And now we can now use that as a model to create more economies around the country. That's what now the story has become. As a content creator, I want to have my name next to, you know, this is a very fast real estate deal that's been done with Bitcoin in Africa. And it's a Bitcoiner actually doing it. And two Bitcoiners can actually show the people who are in Kenya, the people who are in Africa, that Bitcoin has value. Can you see this on this particular block? The house was sold. This particular Bitcoin was exchanged in order to purchase a home. And that's the story that we are building here, because you have to believe in this like it's there's no tomorrow. There's no other option that's there. And that's the truth. Like, the more you learn about Bitcoin, the more you realize this is a gift from the gods. If you don't grab it now, you will be crying later. And I don't want to do that. So I want to get onto the bandwagon, especially before the bull run starts, because I have a feeling we are just almost in the offing. And if we can be able to do that, then the story becomes bigger. The impact that the sales from that house will actually bring, and the education that we'll be able to spread, because now we'll have the resources available to us to even be able to orange peel even more people. And the cycle goes on and on.
That's really smart. And you have to think that you could double or triple the price that you get for the house once the halving hits. There's going to be more scarcity. There's going to be less Bitcoin to go around. So that's going to increase the price of Bitcoin globally. And I just think that is super insightful, that a lot of people need to be tapped into exactly what you're doing. Of course, there's a lot of different villages across Africa where people are putting Bitcoin in. But I think that your situation is unique because you're very well known in Kenya. I think that that house can become almost like a national site, in a sense, for Bitcoiners coming to Eastern Africa. You know, so I think that that's really smart. So, James, how do you approach educating your audience on Bitcoin? Because the African market is completely different from the European market. But I think that you're pretty global in your reach. Like, if I type in James Mumo on YouTube, so many of your videos just pull up, and I'm all the way in the States. So how do you kind of approach educating your audience that might be difficult to kind of convert into learning about Bitcoin?
The people I have in mind when I'm teaching about Bitcoin are mostly the people in my country. And I use my own experience of what I have done to be able to teach other people. And it's not trying to brag or anything. Whenever I teach about how to do a P2P business, I tell people, this is what I have done. This is how much money I have made, and try and be as transparent as I can so that people can be able to see what potential is there. As I was starting off, and like so many Bitcoiners, you focus on the price until you realize the price is just a temporary distraction. Even though I know that's what brings the views, that's what increases the influence, is talking about, you know, if you do this trade, then you'll do this. Sometimes I have to sacrifice that because I don't want to teach my audience that that is the way to make money with Bitcoin. You can make money through trading, but I tell people, if you're able to hold on to Bitcoin for the next 4 years, it will change your life. And that's the experience that everyone has had in the market. And now what I now transitioned to do, because at the beginning of this year is when I discovered the Bitcoin diploma from El Salvador. And I went through the whole book and it blew my mind as to how simple it makes learning Bitcoin. And that idea of teaching people Bitcoin when they're in high school, when they are in elementary school, that is the same thing I'd love to see here. And so what I, while seated in one of the meetings that was organized by one of my friends, who's a founder of Bitcoin Dada, her name is Lorraine Mastel. While I sat seeing what she's doing, educating women, I thought to myself, I can teach as well. And I have all these people that are online who I can teach. And what a better book to use than the Bitcoin Diploma. And that's what I want to start with. And the idea behind it is creating online content that hopefully, if we're able to get funding like we are hoping to get from Giza and other places, if we're able to get the funding that we need, then this education that I will be offering and the course itself will be for free for the people who are studying it. Because, of course, even as you're doing all this and orange peeling, there's always a budget that's behind. So all we I'm hoping for is if I'm able to sort out production, if I'm able to just sort out that the editor has not slept hungry, then this course can be free. And then we can now start talking to teachers and heads of schools and orange peel them and have a session, maybe with the people who are just about to finish high school in their last year, and just have them get a session of what Bitcoin is. And hopefully with time, start orange peeling our political leaders as well, because it's a process that just day by day trying to make inroads, because a number of our leaders know about cryptocurrency and they know about Bitcoin, but they only see it from a taxation perspective. And all they're seeing is how much money can we make from this crypto thing that is in the market, because we are among the biggest markets in Africa for cryptocurrency. So now our work is, as Kenyans, can we work together and make sure that we orange peel, especially the influential people, but still the people who need this education are the people who cannot afford to pay for the education. So how can we be able to get into those communities and teach them for free, and especially let go of the jargon? Because if you've been in any conference, if you've been in spaces as well, we use a lot of Bitcoin lingo and you'll hear people talking about mempools and UTXOs and all these things. And we leave so many people behind who this thing was supposed to actually help. So what my model is, I learn the jargon. Once I've understood what that jargon means, I come back to you and then I tell you, it's like if you were on a highway and there were cars that are like this. So you understand the concept, you get the concept, but you don't need to know the technical aspects, because that only helps the developers. You just need to understand, if you touch electricity, it will shock you. You don't need to understand, oh, there are generators that do this and hydroelectric power and this and that. All that distracts from the actual message. This is money that you can be able to use that tomorrow will be worth more than it is today. That's it. That's Bitcoin for me. And the simpler the message, the faster we can be able to get to many more people.
James, you talk about mobile money being a big proponent of how Kenyans actually transact in the country. Are you in fear of the Kenyan government or central bank kind of implementing a CBDC, kind of onboard Kenyans a lot quicker because they're so used to using their mobile device to pay for things at the shop or buy petrol? Do you think that that is going to kind of be an issue within the country? And do you think that Bitcoin can kind of still come in and provide some financial stability for Africans on the continent?
That's a good question. Last year, 2022, our central bank actually did a paper intending to bring up a CBDC. And that was just hot on the heels of what had happened in Nigeria with the e-Naira, because it had just launched there. But this year in 2023, they actually set it aside. So one of the things that they said was it's not a priority right now, and they're not concentrating on it right now. But to answer your question, I think the CBDC is the perfect fuel for adoption of Bitcoin, because our government and governments all across, they always want to gain more control. And so when the paper came out last year, I did a video explaining to people, this is what that means. Because most people, the research they do is what politicians have said. So what I did and what I take upon myself is, whenever there's a document from the government that I know is finance related, that I know will affect people, I read it, do a live stream, by the way, do a live stream as I read the actual document. And as I read the document, I explain to people, this is what that means. And when they say this, this is what they are doing. And that way people are able to understand, especially because people don't take the time to read all those documents. And so even though a CBDC would be very easy to implement in a country like ours, because it's replacing mobile money, but the biggest thing I saw is not even pushback from citizens. It's pushback from the telco companies, because mobile money is where they make most of their money. And it's not possible for them to just give it up, because then that means, you know, the biggest company in Kenya losing its golden goose because of the CBDC. But additionally, the scrutiny that comes with a CBDC is something that, if our central bank decided they want to focus on it again, believe me, I'm one of the first people to come and tell them, you people have no idea what exactly these people are trying to do. This is exactly what they're trying to do. And as time goes, more and more of our people are getting to understand the fact that our governments are not there for us. They are there for their own interests. And that, slowly by slowly, you'll start seeing people getting into Bitcoin. And then, because we now have introduced a tax on crypto transactions, especially on exchanges, that will also move people. Now, people will stop using exchanges. You'll see them on MetaMask, on Uniswap, and things like that. And now, to self-custody. So whatever the government is doing, even though they are doing it for their own benefit, everything they do is still going to push people towards Bitcoin.
Staying informed in this fast-paced world of Bitcoin is crucial. So could you kind of tell us about your new venture, the thing that you're creating that kind of helps Africans and people across the country to actually learn more about Bitcoin through your platform?
So I've started a platform called Satoshify Me, and it comes from Satisfy Me with Bitcoin. So Satoshify Me started in June of this year. I just announced it about a month ago at a meetup. And it's an educational platform that I am building, which starts with the Bitcoin Diploma. So people can be able to go through the 10 weeks of training that the Bitcoin Diploma has. But over and above that, as we go on, then we'll introduce tracks of people who want to become content creators in the Bitcoin space. People who want to become developers can now be connected to do other things in the space, and then form a community around people who just want to learn more about Bitcoin, people who want to stack Bitcoin, people who want to just evangelize about Bitcoin wherever. And it's my hope that even as I continue doing it, it will be in support of what other people are doing in the space here. I think earlier I mentioned Bitcoin Dada, which does education to women. There's a gentleman here called Guantai who does Bitcoin Mtaani, which is translating of Bitcoin terminologies into our local languages as well. And those two communities, alongside with what I'm doing, is all in collaboration with the same end goal in mind. As many people as possible within our borders to learn about Bitcoin. And of course, one of the advantages I have with placing my course online is the fact that wherever you are in the world, even if you're not a Kenyan, you'll still be able to access the course. And of course, if you want to support the work, there will be donations with what will be running the course itself, because we are hoping that, because I know Bitcoiners are really generous and all that, I am able to do what I love doing, which is teaching, and not worry about anything else, and just concentrate on making sure as many more people learn about Bitcoin. Because there are people that we met in one of the rural areas, and that's just before Machankura launched. And these are people who, they have no idea what Bitcoin is. Just going there, teaching them about Bitcoin, and we are not talking in English, we are talking in my mother tongue. And I'm explaining, you know, it's better than mobile money, but it's yours, it's for you to use. And there's no charge to be able to send this money from one person to another. And that's what excites me, enabling more and more people be able to understand the concepts that come with Bitcoin and making it as affordable as possible for anyone who comes across it.
You know, looking ahead, are you excited for Kenya? Because I'm definitely excited for Kenya, because when you look at the continent of Africa, you have a large swath of countries that don't, they just flat out reject Bitcoin. They don't want anything to do with it. I feel like Nigeria last 2 years was a really hot space, but now I see Kenya with Gridless, with Bitcoin Dada, with yourself, with Machankura. Some of these, I mean, Machankura is out of South Africa, but he helps a lot of the Kenyan marketplace with getting feature phones and Bitcoin to the population. You guys are all in unison. You guys all support each other. I just love to see it, because we need more of that in the States. We need more people coming together under this Bitcoin umbrella to help people with their businesses, to shout them out, to retweet things, to share their content. And I'm doing my part, you know, with the Bitcoin source as well. So, James, I just wanted to thank you on air for this awesome conversation. But before we go, can you give people your social media handles, the websites to your new project, and any other last words you want to tell the audience?
On YouTube, it's at Mumo. So M-U-M-O is the name. And then on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter, it's Mumo_Mumo_. All those places, it's the same. It's at Mumo_Mumo_. And Mumo is M-U-M-O. It means grace in my local language. And the site that we are building is called SatoshiFiMe. It's on Twitter as well, at SatoshiFiMe, and on Instagram. We're building up, and hopefully by the time it gets to my birthday, we'll be able to launch it. So we are really working towards it so that we can be able to teach as many people as possible. My final word is this: anyone who is not from Africa, let them take time to try and learn how we are using Bitcoin as well. I think many of the conversations that are had about Bitcoin come from a place of privilege, because so many of the people, especially in the West, learned about Bitcoin a long time ago. We in Africa sometimes feel like we are the last ones to get it, but Africa will most likely be the first continent to fully adopt Bitcoin, because we have all the right things happening here in Africa. There are so many educators. We have such a young population. We have so many people who are curious about Bitcoin, and we are doing our part with the resources that we have, with the time that we have, with the strength that we have. We are just bringing more and more people, and soon Africa will be a very orange continent, and we are glad just to be able to do our part on the continent. We are here in Kenya working really hard. The guys from Nigeria, there are people in Ghana, in Uganda. We have guys from Gorilla Sats. In Tanzania, there's a Bitcoiner called Quex as well. In South Africa, you have Kogatso. In Namibia, you have Okin. There are so many people in different parts of the continent who are doing an amazing job, and I'm just glad to be a part of them. Sometimes I just look and I'm like, guys are doing a good job. I need to step up. But I'm glad that you also give me an opportunity to come here. And, you know, Bitcoin is for all of us.
Yes, I couldn't agree with that more. James Mumo, ladies and gentlemen, check out this episode. Please like, subscribe. Please share this content out. Support my brother here. Make sure that you subscribe to his YouTube channel as well. And, you know, stay tapped in with him when he's teaching these concepts about Bitcoin to Kenyans, this is also global. So this is going to actually educate people all across Africa, Europe, and the United States. So thank you, James. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.